Are you looking to modernize your veterinary practice by offering virtual care to pet owners? Fortunately, there's an easy solution from the podcast sponsor, Medici. That's M-E-D-I-C-I. Medici is a telehealth solution built for veterinarians. I've made it easy to check out Medici with a link in the show notes, or you can head over to their website, medici.md, or call 512-967-6454 to learn more. Medici lets you text, call, and video chat with clients with their easy-to-use app. Send or receive images and videos of pets, stay VCPR compliant, and get paid, which is always a wonderful thing, for delivering convenient care right from your phone.
Hi, this is Dr. Aaron Smiley, and I've offered telemedicine to my clients since I started. In 2017, I integrated paid telemedicine with Medici.
Ready to go virtual? Visit medici.md, that's M-E-D-I-C-I.md, or call 512-967-6454 to learn more. And with that, here's the show. Welcome to the Veterinary Success Podcast. I'm Isaiah Douglas. Today, I'm joined by Emily Dong, who is the founder of Pawprint. Emily, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Can you give the listeners a description of kind of what and who Pawprint is and how you came up with the original idea?
Yeah, so Pawprint is the official pet medical record. We say official because those records come directly from your veterinary office. We started as a mobile app out of my own experience. So as a pet owner, trying to get my dog to a boarding facility prior to travel was so difficult because they were requiring vaccination records. And when I asked my vet for these, they offered to fax it to me. So I just realized as a pet owner, I don't have access to my own information. And that's what sparked our mobile app and first iteration of the product. We've now found that that product is super useful for vet clinics as well, and recently launched a product where, as a vet clinic, you can get records for any new client coming in. So you have the proper context to start the appointment right away rather than asking the pet owner or your front desk staff to collect that and summarize it.
Perfect. And I definitely want to talk about the new launch of the product. And you touched on it a little bit, but how did you, so you came up with the idea to utilize and make kind of your client experience better working with, you know, your pet and your veterinarian. How did you then grow Pawprint to where it is today? It sounds like you started with an app for the pet owner and not necessarily tailored towards the veterinary staff. Is that kind of accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate. That's exactly right. So I wanted to make my own experience better. It's what I understood. I had never worked in the veterinary industry before, but have had dogs before. So we built out that app, and what you see in the industry is because the records are so disparate, a lot of the responsibility falls on the pet owner. And that's what I was experiencing is the groomer, the boarder, the veterinarian, they all expect you to maintain your own records and show up with them at your visit. That's something that a lot of pet owners don't do or is difficult to do. And so we realized that these businesses were experiencing the problem as well, but just at a much larger scale.
So who's the ideal client for using the app? Is it mainly those with companion animals, so cats, dogs? Is it broader scope? How's Pawprint developed around that initial idea?
Yeah, it is primarily companion animals. Anybody that is using a service. So if you are going to the vet, if you are traveling with your dog, if you are going to the groomer, in all those cases, you have a case where you have to maintain and show a medical history.
And then how is a consumer utilizing the app initially? So they're able to just keep their records, or how does the back end for making sure those records are easily accessible for all parties?
Yeah, so we're helping with the process of actually obtaining the records. And once we get them, they belong to the pet owner and we're really just hosting it for them. So you download the app or you can go on our website and find every vet you've been to in the past, whether that's one vet or five vets. Once you submit the request, we will get all the records and we will summarize it into one unified history. So if your latest rabies was at that one veterinarian and then your latest Bordetella was at a different one, we can tell you where your dates are for each one. And we provide that in the app, and we also email it to you. So now you have full control over what you want to do with it.
Makes sense. And you talked about the launch of the new product, and that was a big reason why we wanted to connect and share what you're doing. So how can veterinarians partner with Pawprint now as you're kind of taking the focus and looking a little bit more on the veterinarian side? Like, how do you envision that being able to improve the client experience for those clinics that do partner with you?
Yeah. So we worked really closely with a couple of clinics to study their current workflow of when a client comes in for their appointment. And what we found is, you know, you come in with your pet, they're probably scared. They generally don't like being at the vet, as great as vets are. And then you're sitting there filling out forms. And then the front desk takes that and they're calling other vets in hopes that they're open and available to send over records. Once it comes, then they have to scan it in, and that sometimes gets lost in a digital folder or forgotten and left on the fax machine. And so a lot of times these appointments are starting 30 or 40 minutes after they were planned to, which is basically the length of the appointment slot to start. And the doctor is going in with or without context. So a story I hear a lot is a vet goes in, they ask you when your latest vaccines are. You don't know. So now you either double vaccinate your dog, potentially, or they send you home and say, hey, when you have your records ready, you can come back. And that sucks for the pet owner because you have to do this whole show a second time. And for the vet, the second time you come in, they're not going to charge an exam fee. So they're losing some financials there. And so what we do is we make sure that all of this information is prepared and ready ahead of time. So as soon as you book your appointment, we will go get all that context on your pet. And as a veterinarian, you get the full medical history of your patient in your inbox before the appointment actually starts.
So what does that look like from just the way that the Pawprint and the veterinarian work? Is it something where the client pays using the app? Is it the vet clinics are paying Pawprint to collect that information? Can you kind of break down the financials almost in a way for how the relationships work?
Yeah, it's completely free to the pet owner. The veterinarian pays a monthly fee, and you can think of it as an extension of their front desk, because otherwise they have, you know, 3 to 5 people at the front desk, one of who would be largely responsible for this role. So we do that all ahead of time. They're paying the monthly fee, and that depends on the volume of appointments they're doing every month.
More appointments, higher volume, more expensive, right. Less appointments, lower volume, less expensive. Okay,
yeah.
Perfect. So you talked a little bit about the typical issues with trying to gather records. Has you and your team looked at how often or have any case studies for really what that cost, what the impact from a financial perspective in the office would be of not being able to charge that exam fee when they have to come back and you do that whole dog and pony show again when someone comes in without records if they weren't utilizing your services?
There's just so many different scenarios where they're losing money because they don't have the records. So one example is making the client come back. Another example is I took my dog to a Banfield location and they did what I asked. So I went in there, I said, I think he has an ear infection. He's been scratching it. They looked at it. They checked the vaccines. It was fine. They sent me home. Later, when we looked at all the records, he was actually not up to date on any of his labs and he was missing one of the vaccines. So for the vet, that's about $200 to $300 of lost revenue opportunity. So just not having the information means not only creating a lot of hassle and losing time in the appointment, but potentially you're missing services you should have done, but weren't aware that the pet was due for.
Emily, you performed some market research via the average transaction cost that veterans have that use Pawprint versus those that don't. Can you share those results and some of the other information that you found, kind of digging into that information?
Yeah, absolutely. So at a high level, what we see nationwide is an average transaction charge of roughly $185. That's pretty standard. And we looked at thousands of appointments where people were using Pawprint. And what we found is on average, we find $360 of value per patient. And when I say $360, I mean just in preventative care like rabies vaccines and Bordetella and a heartworm test. Some of the basic things that you would include in a standard preventative package as your gold standard level of care. And what that really says to us is there are a lot of pets that come in and leave the clinic who don't get all of the basic preventatives. And as a result, it really impacts the revenue for the clinic. So we see a lot of hospitals that spend tons of money acquiring new clients, but once they have the patient in practice, they're not necessarily maximizing that value. And so what we aim to provide is the information of what the pet has done before and what they need to fulfill that preventative need for the year so that they do get everything done in one visit and the clinic can maximize their opportunity there as well.
And you shared right before we talked today about some of the information from just online reviews and kind of what the 5 stars versus the 1 stars look like. Can you share a little bit about that as well?
Yeah. One of the biggest changes we see today is that we live in a very on-demand world. People want everything done now and they want you to do more in less time and they don't want to sacrifice quality. And we know that a lot of people look to sites like Yelp or Google reviews to choose their provider. So when we looked at the 5-star reviews and the 1-star reviews, what we noticed was most common is the mention of wait times. So if you get someone in the appointment room right away, they were extremely happy. They were happy to go on Yelp and tell everyone, hey, this practice was great, got me in and out, treated my pet amazing. And in the 1-star reviews, they would complain about having to wait 30 minutes, 45, maybe even an hour, and just being ignored by the staff. So we thought that was something that's super interesting because day to day, it might not be something that veterinarians think about, but from the perception of the client, it is hugely important.
Anything else from research or industry stats that you feel like is really relevant to share?
Yeah, I think one thing is we also see in our hospitals that prior to using our product, when we look at their workflow, which can be quite complex, that veterinarians end up only having medical records for their patients 10 to 12% of the time. And the other 88 or 90% of the time, they're operating blind or asking clients to recite medical history from memory, which just makes it a very difficult experience all around.
From a scope size, is Paw Print just there in California? Is it all over the United States? Any estimate on users? I don't know if you can share all that information, but is it something that's fairly broad or is it pretty narrowly focused?
It's very broad. We are all of North America, so we do all 50 states and we have a couple locations in Canada.
And then is there any sort of future iterations that you're going to be working on? Again, I know you just rolled out, you know, the big changes as far as partnering closer with veterinarians. What's the future look like, or where do you think that this can grow into to continue to help with that client experience? Because the whole concept of Paw Print was built out of really making it easier on that end client and to make sure that better care is given and that it can be given, you know, at the beginning with all the information around.
Yeah. So in future iterations, making check-in even more seamless. So you can come in, we will get everything done ahead of time, not only your records, but some of those forms and taking medical history around what your concerns are. How is Fluffy's appetite? What kind of food are you feeding her now? And there's a lot of that information that we can start gathering ahead of the appointment so that when you come in, the doctor is looking through it and just doing what they need to physically do there. The second element of that is client education. So one of the main complaints in a veterinary clinic is you go in as a pet owner and you're not sure exactly what to expect and the costs are not very transparent. So I go in and suddenly I get a bill for $350. I have no idea if that's right or wrong. And the general sentiment I hear is that vets are ripping people off. But from the vet industry, and I've seen the margins, that's not exactly the case. So a lot of it is saying ahead of the visit, we have your records, we know your dog needs rabies, the average vaccine cost is this, and so you can come in and you can expect that you will need these things done at a minimum. And so they can prepare and they can research ahead of time, and it just makes it a much more transparent process on both sides.
Sure, and I think everyone craves transparency in being able to have more information to make an informed decision, whether it's just the ability to, you know, go on Amazon and buy something or go anywhere. You want to understand what those costs are and not feel like you're left in the dark. That sounds, it seems like a really, really good idea, because you're exactly right. It's not like veterinary medicine is, you know, having massive margins. I think they can be a very profitable business when run properly and run correctly. And the numbers do show that, but that is not the case all the time. And there are a lot of costs and overhead to cover to make sure that you can provide the right and adequate care.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing we see is that veterinarians tend to be such compassionate people. There's very few that I've ever come across that would even think of ripping somebody off. They are generally just trying to keep pets healthy and make the service as accessible as possible. And so getting that transparency and helping the pet owner understand that, I think, will really strengthen their relationship and make it a much less scary thing to go to a veterinarian when they need one.
Absolutely. So episode 3, I interviewed Dr. Jess Trimble, who was the introduction for us to connect. So, you know, I appreciate that connection. And she talked a lot about telehealth and embracing technology to better serve clients and patients. Again, we've been talking about how Pawprint does that. What do you see as you just look at the industry as a whole, as far as trends or areas to continue to improve that client experience? Because from a private practice, it is really difficult, because we talked about it, margins are thin. To spend a lot of money just to improve the experience is difficult, even though that can be one of the ways that you could differentiate yourself from other, you know, competing hospitals that are out there, clinics.
Yeah, I think there's actually tons of opportunity, and that the spend is not just a cost center, but really an opportunity to provide more and better veterinary care. You see a lot of pets that don't go for regular visits and they're only seeing a veterinarian every 3 years for their basics, like the legally required rabies vaccine, and that's it. But with this new technology, you can offer kind of bite-sized levels of care. So there's so many instances of, okay, you know, we had surgery, we want to do follow-up, or the dog got into something they shouldn't have. And in a lot of these cases, people kind of just figure it out, or they Google some sort of results. And I think as a clinic, if you make yourself more accessible, whether that is, I've seen some people with texting lines so that clients can message them anytime, or people who are more diligent about monitoring email, there are ways to provide that care. And with technology, there's now ways to monetize it in, you know, more micro segments.
Your background, again, we didn't really touch on everything, but is, like you mentioned, outside of veterinary medicine. So I always like to, you know, take some concepts that maybe you've seen from the technology space, which is where your background is, and how they could implement that better within veterinary medicine. And you mentioned it, you know, breaking it up into micro segments and treatment that could be maybe more of a smaller ongoing subscription type basis. Is there anything else, or do you want to expound upon that thought?
Of the subscription models, or?
Yeah, just taking care and breaking it up where you're not saying, you know, we're only going to treat specific things and encourage people to come in when something's really, really wrong. And it's, you know, at stage 5, instead of catching things early where it could be a little bit more preventable, because you talked about texting or email. There are a lot of different ways to bring technology in. I, again, just pure curiosity of what you're seeing in other,
yeah,
you know, industries that people could bring in and leverage technology, because there isn't the same HIPAA guidelines for human health that veterinarians have to abide by,
yeah,
as far as that information. So it does free up a little bit of flexibility to utilize some technology outside of just, you know, what's being done in the medical space for human health with portals and the security of that information.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's been a big battle around VCPR because your dog can't talk to you and tell you exactly how they are feeling. But there's a lot of cases where as a pet owner, you're just confused about something or you just need some guidance. And if the alternative is Google or your other friend who also has a dog, then just having somebody who's been in industry give you some advice, even that is more valuable. And if that person ends up being your veterinarian who's seen your dog before, that's even more valuable. So I think there's lots of different levels that people can play with, and there's a lot less risk than, like you mentioned, in the human health space. And our role in that is just making sure the information is readily available to everyone, right? So if you're doing care at home, it's helpful for any veterinarian to know the background of your pet or as much background as possible, especially if they're not going to physically be there. And so I'm really excited about all the different angles of telemedicine and more accessible care. And, you know, we'll do what we can to provide everybody the context from the digital world. And going back to your question about my background, so prior to this, I worked at a company called LearnScout, and we were doing data consolidation in the education space. So that's the angle I'm coming at, is we believe that the data is so valuable and so powerful when it's actually made accessible to the people who need it. And right now, the pipelines just aren't there. And once we build that, I think it'll unlock a lot of this in-between visit care or other things that you can service the pet owner with.
The power of data. I love the way that was put, and that will likely be the title of the episode, just from the standpoint of how having the information can allow for better care, better structures of other alternatives than what's been traditionally done the last 20, 30 years in veterinary medicine.
Yeah, there was an app I tried in the human health space, and you know, it was a remote visit, and the first 10, 15 minutes was history taking. And that's the same experience as a pet owner you have when, you know, you go to the groomer, you go to the border, you go to a new veterinarian, every time they're recreating your history. And every time some information gets lost because it's now coming from your memory and not someone's actual record. So hopefully that's a problem that we can solve.
So what does success look like for you, both from a personal side and then Paw Print? So long-term plans, your vision for the future?
Yeah, from a personal standpoint, it's still solving that problem I felt 5 years ago, which, when things get hard as a company and I think, okay, well, maybe it's time to throw in the towel, I ask myself, have we solved the problem? As a pet owner, do I have access to the information that I need? And as it currently stands, no, but I do see over the years that a lot of progress has been made. And we've just learned so much about the industry, about how that can happen. For the future, just having all of that data accessible when and where you need it. So whether that is to make it so you can board your dog and hop on a flight in the next hour for an emergency, or so that you can get treatment at home, or so that you can see a vet online. There's so many experiences right now that is so difficult in a digital age where it shouldn't be. So just want to make that client experience for pet owners much, much more seamless.
And then we talked a little bit prior to hit and record about, with the new rollout, you're, you know, really going through a flurry of onboarding with veterinarians. If someone's listening, feels like this is something they like to offer, sees the power of having that data to offer to not only their current clients, but potential clients and patients within their practice, what's the best way to connect, follow you, Paw Print, get involved, reach out? Can you share that information as well?
Yeah. Our website is vet.getpawprint.com. That's GETPAWPRINT. My email is somewhere embedded in there. So it's emilyd@getpawprint.com. And I respond to pretty much every email, or I try to. You're always welcome to reach out. Yeah, and then actually to your last question about, you know, what else I think we haven't covered, I was just thinking about this. There are a lot of systems out there now to make records more accessible to your clients. So if you're a veterinary clinic, there's lots of pet portal solutions and ways to communicate with clients you already have. And that in a way is information going out. We have built a system where we can access data from any clinic across the US, whether they are paper-based, partially digital, or fully on the cloud. And that is the only way to get a complete medical history. And what we offer that nobody else can is that we will provide that complete file for you. So it's data coming into your clinic to make sure you have everything you need to operate.
To extend this now, talking about someone that's on paper records and they're not a current paw print client or customer, how are you getting that information and saying, hey, we're going to make sure that this comes through? Are you, you know, asking them really nicely and they say, you know what, Emily, we really like you. We like what you're doing. Even though we're on paper and we're not a customer, we're going to give you the information. Like, what does that process look like? I feel like that could be a little strenuous and a little challenging.
Yeah, it was a challenge to figure out. But the biggest key here is they're not giving the data to us. They're not giving data to Pawprint. That is scary and in a way, you know, not legal because we're a third party. But they're giving data to us as a representative of the pet owner. So it is the pet owner that is requesting that they need the records for some purpose. And once the clinic understands that, it's very similar to the workflow that they do now, where if another clinic were to call them and ask for records, or an insurance company or their local groomer, they would fax that over. And so we've built all the channels to accept records, whether it's via fax or email. I think in one case we took snail mail, but we highly prefer that we don't do that in the future. Facts we've come to understand that we will never get rid of, and I've actually started becoming more of a proponent for it as far as vet clinics go. So yeah, we will do whatever works for that clinic. Our goal is to make their lives easier and not harder by adding additional work for them.
That's so funny talking about trying to kill fax machines. It's like it's 2019. You would never think you'd utilize them, but I've ran into situations where people have asked or needed that, and it's like, what? I thought we were so far removed from that, but.
No, well, I'll give my 30-second pitch for fax machines, actually, having now done this for 4 years. The industry I find that you will never kill a fax machine are the physical ones. So doctors' offices, restaurants are huge on them, and it's because those people are running around a physical location providing a service, and they're not sitting at a computer checking their email all day. So you need something that is also physical that actually gets put into their space, like when a fax machine prints something out for you. And that's why I don't think it's going to go away.
Yeah, coming from someone that is that has so much of a tech background, to be an advocate for fax machines seems so counterintuitive. But that's hilarious at the same time. Any parting kind of last words? I've really appreciated your time sharing the idea around utilizing data, taking care of pets better by being armed with the information so that nothing slips through the cracks. And I hope people hear that message and understand that this is where the industry is going to continue to move, which is having the ability to harness that data. But anything that you want to share?
No, I think we've covered it. We think that data is super powerful. Our platform works with any clinic. So whether you are a hospital or whether you are a pet owner just looking to get some shot records for some, you know, some travel, hope you guys will consider us to manage all of your data.
Emily, thank you so much for taking the time and carving it out and talking with me and sharing a little bit about what Pawprint does.
Okay, thanks, Isaiah.
Thanks for listening to today's show. The comments made on today's show should not be taken as investment, tax, or legal advice. All comments are for educational purposes only. You should talk to your professional team before implementing anything. Isaiah is the founder of ID Financial Planning and Wealth Management. Isaiah is a registered investment advisor in the state of Indiana. The biggest compliment you can give is to share this podcast with a friend. Reviews help the show get found, and Apple Podcasts is a platform that is predominantly how people listen to the show. If you have 3 minutes, love the show, head over to Apple Podcasts and give us an honest review and rating. That'll help more people find the show. For all of today's links and information, head over to theveterinarysuccesspodcast.com. There you can also subscribe via your favorite podcast platform so you won't miss another episode. Finally, if you'd like more information and insights and the ability to have your voice heard, please consider joining the private podcast Facebook group. You can search for the Veterinary Success Podcast on Facebook or head over to theveterinarysuccesspodcast.com, scroll down to the About Your Host and click on the Facebook icon. Then I can approve you, let you into the group, and would love to hear from you there. Thanks for listening, and I'll be talking again to you soon.